Welcome to Christchurch Selly Park Online. I'm Bobby and I'm delighted to welcome you this morning. I am on the welcome team at church and would normally greet you with a handshake or a hug. I'm afraid I can't do that physically, but receive my virtual hugs this morning. So today we're thinking about an omniscient God, the God who knows everything. And in particular, thinking about the God who knows everything about us, but still loves and values and desires our attention. Chris Turner's got some fantastic things to say to us later about that. But talking about knowing everything, did you know that today's quite a sad day for Christchurch? Today is technically the day that Chris Chalmers leaves us and moves on to take her procuracy next week at Holy Cross, Bilsley. I met up with her to find out more.
Well, welcome to my garden, Chris, for this socially distanced interview. I'm really sad that you're going to be moving on very soon to Holy Cross, Bilsley, and that we're going to be losing you from Christchurch, at least in theory, though I believe you're going to hang around for a few things for a little bit. Been with us for about 8 years, coming up. I think. So what do you think you're going to remember most about your time at Christchurch?
I think the openness and friendliness of the fellowship, that was something that certainly drew us to Christchurch in the beginning. And also the fact that people are willing to let you grow and learn and make mistakes and graciously help you to grow from them. So we'll miss that, just the honesty and genuineness of the fellowship.
That's great. Tell us about how you've seen God at work in you and through you in these last 8 years.
I've seen an increase in confidence, and I certainly would not have gone back to theological college and gone through the discernment route if I hadn't been encouraged by so many. And in terms of growth, yeah, just the encouragement of leading and just giving it a go. And I've just seen God really strengthen me and deepen my faith these last sort of 3 years particularly. And communion has become so important to me now. It always meant something, but now it's just something very deep that I'm going to be taking away with me from Christchurch.
That's great. It's been fantastic having the contribution that you've made to our services over the last few years in particular, and with Lynch Club. So we and youth group as well, and the way you've picked that up, that's been fantastic. We do really appreciate all that you've done, but now you're going to looking ahead to what you're going to be doing. So you get licensed electronically somehow on Saturday. That's still to find out what that's going to look like. And then starting work the following Sunday at Holy Cross, Bilsley. Tell us something about what you're looking forward to.
So I'm looking forward to meeting new people. And obviously it's not going to be the start of a curacy like it normally would, because I'm only going to meet people on Zoom. But there again, it leaves that excitement for what will new church look like. People keep talking about this new life we're going to be living. It's, and I think church has got to embrace that. And it's exciting to think about what that might be too.
We do wish Chris all the best. Please remember her and the family in your prayers. It's not a great time to begin a curacy in a new church with not being able to meet with other people. Now we're going to have our reading from the Bible read by Sarah, and then we'll hear from Chris Turner about our wonderful all-knowing God.
Our reading today is from Psalm 139, verses 1 to 6. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain.
Good morning, everyone. Good to be with you as we think about this next in our series on the nature of God. And as Bobby's reminded us, we're thinking about the God who knows everything, the omniscient God. He's the real know-it-all, the one and only. He knows the answers to all the big questions the scientists are looking for about the universe. He knows how to find a vaccine. He knows all these answers because he made the world. And, of course, we'll have all eternity to ask him the questions about the big issues of the world. But for David, for King David, it wasn't those things that preoccupied him most. It was much more personal than that. It was what God knew about him that really mattered. In our psalm, Psalm 139, verse 1, he says, "You have searched me and you know me, Lord." And as he reflects on it, he thinks about what God knows about him. He knows all about my behaviour. He knows when I sit down or when I get up or when I lie down or when I go out. He knows about all my, "You are familiar with all my ways," he says. Now, we know some of the peculiar ways of our nearest and dearest and our closest friends, but God knows all of them. As Hannah said in her song when she rejoiced over the birth of Samuel, "The Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed." But it wasn't just his behavior and his actions that David knew God knew about. He knew about his language too. "Before a word is on my tongue, you know it. You know what, whether it's kind or harsh, whether it's true or false, whether it's sincere or flattery, whether it's foul or pleasant language, whether it's constructive or simply gossip." And again, we know a good deal about the language of our nearest and dearest. But there is one thing that only he knows about. As David reflected, he thought, "He knows all about my thoughts. You perceive my thoughts from afar." He knows what we're thinking, what we're planning, what we're worrying about, what our motives are. He has X-ray eyes, sees right within. The heavenly CCTV has no blind spots. As Abraham says of him, "You are the God who sees me deep within." How do you feel about a God who knows all about your behavior, all about your speech and what you say, and all about your thoughts? David began to reflect on where he could go to get away from such a God. When planes are flying, if I took a flight to the other side of the world, would that help? "No, I find you're there too, Lord." Or perhaps I could hide from him in the dark. But God has a night vision camera. And then he asks himself, why would I want to run away from a God to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid? Why would we do that? I would suggest that shame is a common cause. It's what keeps us socially distancing, even without lockdown. Because if you knew what I'm really like, and what my innermost thoughts are, you might not like me very much. That's what shame says. It's not just COVID-19 that makes us wear a mask. Shame and fear do that. But God has designed the body of Christ, his church, to be a place of safety where I can be open and honest about my struggles, where I can be genuinely myself, where I can be accepted for who I really am. If we can't do that, then the church isn't much different from the world, is it? I know it can take courage to make yourself vulnerable, because we're all a work in progress and some of us have been hurt badly in the past. It may be that you're aware of something that's happened to you in days gone by that make it difficult for you to be open about yourself. May I suggest that you seek out someone you trust, with whom you can talk it through, and let them pray with you. But we do put on masks, as part of our PPE, our personal protective equipment. These masks, you know, are a modern-day parable for us, aren't they? Because it doesn't sit easily with us, does it, to wear masks so that we can't see each other, or to keep each other at more than arm's length, because we know we were made for relationship. This isolation and social distancing has led to a lot of loneliness. And yet, when COVID's not around, many of us still struggle to dispense with our masks altogether and allow people to come close. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ should be the one place where it's more or less impossible to be lonely. So what are we to do with our fears? I think David can help us here. When David realized that there was nowhere he could go to get away from God or hide from him, he began to think about why he didn't need to. "Everything that's going on inside me, you created, Lord," he says. "You put me together in mum's womb. Before I was a twinkle in my mother's eye, you knew what I was going to be like. It's wonderful to know that you've been thinking about me all the time. And when I wake from this nightmare, what do I find? I'm still with you. You're still around." Once we know the security David knew as a child of God, made by him, loved by him, it sets us free. Free from the fear of other people and what they think. Free to be ourselves. Some very good things have come out of this difficult time, haven't they? Communities have discovered each other. So much so that we hear a common cry, when we get out of this, let's not go back to the way things were. And I'd say amen to that. I'm very proud of my brothers and sisters at Christ Church for the love, proud of the love and care that you show for each other. What a wonderful platform that can be for us to go on growing in the next stage of our life together. Many of us have been struggling with loneliness. I've been missing you more than I can say. You know, I'm fairly touchy-feely and I'm desperate for a hug. So watch out. When we get back together, you're all going to get one. How about we resolve that with God's grace, Christchurch Selly Park will be a place where no one need feel lonely. No one will feel the need to wear a mask or keep others at a distance. Michael Harper was one of the national leaders of the renewal movement in the 70s. And during that time, he did a preaching tour of churches in Sweden. And on one occasion, he walked into a church in Sweden, and on the left-hand side were a row of hooks, above it, the sign, "Please hang your mask here and be yourself."
Thank you that you are a God who knows all our fears and needs. We pray for people who feel the need to hide, through shame, through fear, through loneliness, through poverty. We pray for people who've become disconnected, people such as refugees. We pray that you'll help us to rebuild broken connections, to show your love, and to restore hope.
Father God, we bring before you the nations of the world that are now experiencing the peak of the COVID pandemic. You know where they are. We ask that you would guide their leaders, particularly those in countries with low income, in their decision making as they balance health and economic issues and allocate limited resources. Nearer home, we pray for our Prime Minister, the government and the leaders of the devolved nations in their planning as lockdown is eased. We pray for the government advisers
as they weigh up the evidence and model the data. We pray for the test and trace program and for all the scientists working on vaccine development. Thank you that you are the fount of all knowledge. Amen.
Dear Lord, during this time of pandemic, church has become very different. Thank you for those at Christchurch who are helping us to stay connected using their technology skills and all those working hard to keep so much happening. During this time of vacancy, we are looking forward in the time that we will have a new vicar. Please guide those who are working hard to make this happen. We don't know what church will be like in the future, but we are thankful that you do, and we can trust you've got you to guide us. We pray in your name, Lord. Amen.
Father God, we pray for families and children both here and worldwide during these challenging times. Many are struggling financially due to loss of employment during lockdown. We pray for the work of food banks, that they would be well supplied and supported. We know that lockdown has been stressful for many families. We pray for those suffering domestic violence, that they would find help and for some, places of refuge. Finally, we pray for our schools, both for teachers and children, as the numbers returning gradually increase. We pray that schools will be safe places and that parents will have the confidence to send their children back to their classes. We pray in the name of our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
If you're not a regular at Christchurch and want to know more about us, have a look at our website, Christchurch Selly Park, and get in touch via the contacts page there. Let's pray. God, you know us better than we know ourselves. You know our thoughts, our weaknesses, our motivations, our sins, and you love us still. Forgive us when we don't believe such love is true or possible. When we wonder how you could love us just as we are. When we forget about our intricate construction, fearfully, wonderfully made in your image. Remove from our minds every thought which keeps us from you. Break down the walls, push aside the pride, and help us to trust anew. You know our hearts, and you love us still. Help us to love you. Amen.